Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Chris Woodward and Steve Jordahl. All right, Steve, now it's your turn.
Oh, my turn.
What kind of news did you bring in?
It's my turn.
How did I know it was going to result in singing?
My turn to give the news away.
Just keep going, Steve.
To show that the world still keeps, turning even after Tucker Carlson leaves Fox. This is a study that's coming to light, and it's a study that was undertaken and written in 1994. So this is an old study, but it's relevant to today because what the researchers wanted to know is they wanted to know if mothers of children with boys with gender identity disorder, which is what the
used to be called
psychological term. I think it still is, actually, but it's where
it doesn't apply to anybody anymore.
This is the boys that want to be girls, with gender confused issues, whether or not their parenting styles or something about them kind of shove their boys that way. Listen to this. The pilot study compared mothers of boys with gender identity disorder with mothers of normal boys, which tells you this was a long time ago,
right,
to determine whether differences in psychopathology and child-rearing attitudes and practices could be identified. Mothers of boys with GID had more symptoms of depression and more often met criteria for borderline personality disorder. 53% of moms with boys with GID have this borderline problem, compared with only 6% of moms of normal boys.
That's a pretty stunning difference, percentage-wise.
Yeah,
of moms. Okay, so now the first thing I want to say, folks, to our listeners, is we are certainly not making light of mental issues, mental health issues, emotional health, however you want to categorize these things. That can be a real struggle for people. But it is pretty stunning to see that big of a difference, like what is it, almost 48% difference, that young men who have moms with their own mental health issues often struggle with their own self-perception when it comes to gender. I think that's staggering. How did you come across this? If it's a 94 study,
it's making the rounds now because Somebody went back and looked and said, you know, this is kind of relevant today.
Circle back.
All right. I don't think that Jen Psaki was the one that brought this.
I have shared a link to what Steve just read on the Facebook page.
This is out of PJ Media. This is what borderline personality disorder is, according to the National Institutes of Mental Health. The person makes efforts to avoid real or perceived abandonment. They kind of imagine abandonment. They have a pattern of intense and unstable relationships with family, friends, and loved ones. They have a distorted and unstable self-image or sense of self. That seems particularly relevant when you talk about
This is
the moms.
Okay.
Someone with border personality disorder, impulsive, often dangerous behaviors such as spending sprees, unsafe sex, substance abuse, recurring thoughts of suicidal behavior or threats, intense and highly variable moods with episodes lasting from a few hours to a few days, inappropriate intense anger or problems controlling anger.
Wow.
So
those are moms with real problems.
Yeah.
It's not surprising, and Chris, you can certainly jump in here. It would not be surprising if some of those mental or emotional struggles were then transferred over to the boy that they're raising.
I have some disturbing audio here that it relates
oh,
to
boy.
What we're talking about. That being the push for people to train, specifically minors, to change their gender. Last week on Washington Watch, then host Jody Heiss, former congressman, was hosting in Tony's place, and he brought on this Project Veritas video, which shows doctors and other medical professionals talking about having, for example, patients as young as 8 and 9 in the office saying they wanted to change their gender. And then they also played audio of a lady that went through a transition, and she said that she met somebody and was, you know, it was a brief discussion, and they were forced onto meds and then quickly into surgery not long after that. Clip 9.
I had a very brief, like 15 to 30 minute appointment with her, wherein she told me that I was a boy. So then I took that letter of recommendation to a pediatric endocrinologist, and that very same day I started testosterone. And then not even a whole year later, at 18, I had a radical double mastectomy.
Now, sadly, that appears to be just one example of somebody that has gone down this road where they met with somebody, had a brief discussion, they were pushed onto things, and then they started having procedures done to alter their body. And sadly, Dr. Jennifer Bowens, who is a PhD that now works at Family Research Council, she was on Washington Watch saying that mental health professionals are hearing stories like this all the time, to the point that they've heard from patients who were told, you must transition or commit suicide.
You know, Steve, we were talking in the last hour. It's going to sound totally unrelated, but I am going to draw a conclusion here, a similarity. We were talking last hour about the mayors of big cities who are afraid to promote law and order because they are afraid of the fallout from the Black Lives Matter groups, the right. rioters, protesters. They're afraid to look like they're siding with the police against the George Floyd type victims that they claim are all out there. So they say nothing. Meanwhile, reality is beating their city into
right.
oblivion.
Right.
Now we have situations where mental health professionals are similarly afraid to speak out against pushing even children into these life-altering regimens, because they're afraid of what's going to happen if they say, let's hold on here.
It is stunning to me that a physician who's been to medical school, who knows endocrinology, who knows biology, can, with a straight face, or even be able to sleep at night after telling a child, go ahead and do this, we can reverse it, it's no big deal, this is the right thing to do. It stuns me, because they know, they have to know that it's going to mess the kid up. They have to know.
Yeah.
They've been in medical school, for goodness sakes. Just stunning to me.
Well, when you have a society, or at least a vocal portion of it, that is saying men can menstruate, men can get pregnant, and saying that with a straight face, and if you don't agree with that, you're a hater. There is a tremendous amount of pressure on these doctors and medical professionals. Some of them are just going along with it because they believe it.
Yeah.
But
well,
to your point, you wonder how anybody
AMA is on board with it.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, your professional organization through which you're licensed and accredited.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably wondering, well, listen, I don't want to become a greeter down at Walmart. I'm a doctor.
Right.
I can't be drummed out of my profession. So the American Medical Association says all the science points towards transgender reality. Who am I to say differently? But they do have to have a great deal of cognitive dissonance in their minds, thinking this can't be right. But
stunning.
Wow,
I think reality is going to hit American families as reality hit the cities you were talking about.
Yes.
These kids are going to grow up, and there's going to be mental health problems for these kids.
We're failing those children.
It's going to be really terrible.
All right,
let's lighten up this a little bit. Hey, can you guys believe that the government is actually talking about UFOs seriously? Like, they don't understand what's going on, and they're saying that they probably exist, and no one's talking about it? Don't you remember back in the days of Close Encounters of the whatever kind?
Yeah, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
And the E.T. and everything it used to be. I mean, that was – this is the moment that should be uniting humanity, if you believe in Star Trek. But no, they're actually – Pentagon officials are now breaking down truly anomalous objects, phenomenon, a UAP, unidentified anomalous phenomena, which they don't understand how these little balls, little orbs that are going – changing directions real fast. They don't know how it's happening. They have no idea. And yet, this is kind of going unnoticed. It's kind of surprising.
It used to be unidentified flying objects, UFOs,
right.
And
that's a lot of baggage.
That has a lot of baggage, right? So they switched the name. Originally, UAPs was over the last 5 or 6 years unidentified aerial phenomena.
Yeah,
phenomena. Or phenomenon, if it's a singular.
Phenomenon.
But now they're saying unidentified anomalous phenomena because it's not always aerial. Sometimes these things happen in the ocean. I think some people are talking about this. It's been on Fox a lot. And, my own take on this is that this is spiritual in nature. That's a hard sell for people because they are looking at images that appear on radar or whatever. I go to I've been studying this for many, many years. UFOs. I know that sounds.
Have you visited one?
I've not. I've never seen one. Never been visited by one because I do think it's a spiritual phenomenon. And but not all the people that I've read, and in fact, most of the people that I've read on this subject are not. They don't believe in it. It's spiritual. But John Keel, if you ever remember the Mothman prophecies, John Keel wrote a fantastic book. I was fortunate enough to pick up a hardcover version fairly cheap about 2 decades ago because it's very expensive now if you want to try to find a copy. But he wrote a book called UFOs Operation Trojan Horse. Now, John Keel's an atheist, but his perspective was, as he studied this, he said he called them. I can't remember the term metaphysical. It wasn't metaphysical. Anyway, it'll come to me. But he said there are spiritual beings or trans universe, something like that.
Another trans.
It's been a while since I've read it. Yeah, a different type of trans. He said they've always been here. They are malevolent. They are often pranksters. All these things that we're
talking about demons.
Yes. He and others like Jacques Vallée, they study these phenomena and say, listen, these are exactly like in the Middle Ages when people saw orbs. They saw what they called fairies, all right, and goblins, and they had all these same types of phenomena back 1,000 years ago. And what these atheists say is that there is something metaphysical. There is the ability to appear physical for a while, and then they disappear. And all these kinds of things that we're seeing are breaking the laws of physics.
Yeah.
The speed with which these things take off, but don't break the sound barrier.
Right.
These are not physical objects, although they are visible. And they don't behave, certainly couldn't have anybody biological in them because it would turn biological bodies into jelly,
right,
making these sharp turns. And when people say, oh, well, they just have technology in advance of ours, I say, you're talking about magic. All right. You're not talking about science. You're talking about magic if you're going to say that. So anyway, this is a very fascinating thing to me. And people had better start paying attention and not being dismissive of what is happening. The Bible talks about the devil as being the prince of the power of the air. And that at the end of time, there would be signs in the heavens which cause people to be afraid. That could be, simply shooting stars and fire in the sky or whatever, but there could be some other things that could be happening. So well, it is very interesting, and Christians ought to be paying attention.
So, so much for going light. No.
Yes.
Were you
wanting to make fun of people?
No. But the thought did cross my mind. Do we want to hope for a Republican president and that they wait until 2025 to come to Earth? So when they say, take me to your leader, the leader actually, can be somewhat credible, but
let me just say this. This might be a little bit controversial. Okay, some people don't believe there's life anywhere else in the universe. That could be. I'm not sure what the Bible teaches about those kinds of things. My personal belief is, if there is life elsewhere in the universe. They're not visiting us. The distances, I'm sorry, my opinion is the distances are so vast that you don't travel from trillions, literally trillions of miles away. A light year is almost 6 trillion light years
miles.
Almost 6 trillion miles. The nearest star that people consider possible to have planets around it would have life is like 24 light years away. 24 times 6 trillion miles. You're talking about lifetimes of biological beings. I don't think anybody's visiting us. I think what we're seeing are from the beings who have been here all along.
Everybody make sure you go to the bathroom before you get in the spaceship.
Yes.
My dad had a theory. My dad had a theory because there's no doubt there's planets out there and a lot of them, several of them could possibly hold life. He thinks they might be populated with angels.
Angels?
Heavenly beings, you know. He's looking forward when he joins my mom up in heaven to traveling at the speed of thought.
Yeah.
Which is an awesome little concept.
All right, so folks, we did open that can of worms. We're not nobody's expert on that. Chris, what do you think?
I think if aliens land today and say, take me to your leader, Joe Biden would call them undocumented extraterrestrials. That's what I think.
You know what's funny to me? You shouldn't have got me started on this. All these people who claim to have seen the beings.
Yeah.
Okay? They say, I was driving down a dirt road, and I saw a UFO was landed, and somebody was fixing it. The number of times I've heard that story, I think, what kind of bucket of junk are these aliens driving around
right,
where they're always breaking down? Okay, are these built by Ford or Chevy? Okay, see, I threw both of them out there. So if you're having wars, they're always breaking down. And personally, if they could fly trillions of miles and they have the technology to make it all this way and can't fly around without their brights on, their lights, okay, what kind of technology do they really have? They're flying around with their lights on. Well, you can't be invisible. All right? So, anyway, maybe they want to be seen.
And they're supposed to be smarter.
Which is the point if this is spiritual. All right. That's it. That's all I'm going to say about it.
All right. Well, let's move on. So, we have seen, we've been talking a little bit about the Bud Light, the beer that has hired this transgender guy. His name is Dylan Mulvaney, who wants to be a girl. Anyway, so they put his picture as a woman on a can of beer, sent it to him, and then hired him to be their spokesperson.
Right.
It did not go well. We have at least two executives, marketing executives, who have been put on administrative leave. The market cap of Anheuser-Busch, the parent company, has plummeted, lost billions of dollars.
Right.
And they're being made fun of now. I don't have my shot sheet here.
Well, as you're looking for that, let me just point out that some people have asked. I've gotten a couple of messages on Facebook and an email or two. I can't find the beer anywhere with the Dylan Mulvaney.
No, I think they just sent it to
her. It was a specialty.
It was a special thing
sent it to him.
Just for him. Just for him. Listen to what's now going around. This is Cut 11.
Hi there. My name is Prancer. I identify as a reindeer. This ad is what we call damage control. Our thinking is, maybe if we post an ad with our iconic Clydesdale that identifies as a reindeer, and we say vaguely patriotic things.
This is the story of the American spirit.
People will like us again. Look at these two typical American firemen. We can't put two white people together in an ad. We still have to virtue signal a little. I mean, we're still woke. We're just not that woke. So just look at the pretty horse that identifies as a reindeer and drink Budweiser again. If you don't, they said they're taking me to the glue factory.
It does. You said in our story meeting, that does sound a little like Todd Starnes,
doesn't it?
A little bit like
not the voice, Todd Starnes, but the delivery.
So listen, they Anheuser-Busch, and I corrected my mispronunciation last week.
That's why I brought the story in. Just wanted to hear that again.
Just to hear Anheuser-Busch. Anheuser-Busch. They have taken a beating, and so there is no – it's kind of like Tucker Carlson. We probably are not going to get any explanation for why these executives are on temporary leave.
Yeah, but unlike Tucker Carlson, we all could have seen this coming at some point.
Well, listen, it was a bad call. You don't have to insult your customer base in order to virtue signal. And that's the mistake that Anheuser-Busch and Bud Light made.
Yeah.
So, all right, what else you got?
Oh, all right. I had one right down. Oh, hey, we should probably mention this. This is back to a little serious. Did you know that Susan Rice, the policy advisor to President Biden, is leaving the White House? A lot of White House personnel, it's not unusual on either side of the aisle for that kind of position to change over the course of a president's term. But Susan Rice is stepping down as President Biden's domestic policy advisor. There are a lot of people who say that she's the one pulling a lot of the strings about what's going on in this country.
Well, she's supposedly, from everything I've read, she is very intelligent. Okay, now you can still have evil views on abortion and whatnot and still be very intelligent. But she was, under President Barack Obama, she was his national security advisor and UN ambassador. And so Biden brought her on to be his domestic policy advisor. And so now she is stepping down. Well, what do you attribute that to? I mean, we're still seeing this unfold. Do you think, because sometimes people, Chris, you got something?
I'm looking at the article.
Okay. You know, sometimes it's just time to go. Or does she see the handwriting on the wall, or has Biden told her that he is running?
I think she wants to spend more time with her family.
Yeah, we never hear that one.
No.
Well, anyway, I guess we'll find out. Maybe she's going to write a, you know, tell-all book, or she's going to write foreign policy books. Who knows?
But he has Joe Biden has had some turnover. Labor Secretary Marty Walsh left to run the NHL Players Union. Jen Psaki left to be a talking head on MSNBC. It's not uncommon for people to lose advisors or cabinet members,
right?
But
President
to do
Trump
so
did.
During the middle of a first term is a little curious.
Yeah. For domestic policy.
All right, hey, let's do this. The headline right now on the Babylon Bee, which is my favorite news source, if you didn't know.
Yeah.
This is all it's all woke news, joke news. The headline is Fox News fires the only reason people watch Fox News.
Well, that's, again, a reference to Tucker Carlson, folks. If you're just tuning in, Fox News and Tucker Carlson have parted ways. We don't know whose idea that was or if it was mutual. But so saying that they fired Carlson is a little bit of a guess right now, but that is funny.
Yeah.
Because that he is now Greg Gutfeld has a very popular show as well.
Yeah. And, but this is a late night show. It's a whole different genre than what Tucker does.
Right. Right. So it would be interesting to see who's going to replace Tucker Carlson, because that is a prime spot. That's prime real estate when it comes to the Fox News lineup. So, all right, folks, that's it. That's the music. Time's up. Game's over. More great programming, by the way, is still directly ahead on American Family Radio. You've been listening to Today's Issues. Tim Wildman should be back in the captain's chair tomorrow. Lord willing, we will see you then.